Very thankful to be here and very thankful for God's rich mercy upon each and every one of us in granting us the ability to come to the Lord's house and worship Him in freedom and without persecution and things that you and I have took for granted so many days in our lives that might not always be. So thank God for what you have today, because that doesn't mean you'll always have it. This morning, the thoughts that are on my mind are that of studying the Word of God. I thought about this a lot over the last several months. And when we think about the word Christian, it makes us wonder, what do you think about when you think about a Christian? Someone will tell you that they're a Christian because they believe in Jesus Christ. And to some extent, that's true. But the definition of a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe it's one that truly, truly tries to imitate to the best of his ability the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing to say, I serve the Lord, I go to church, I sit in the pew on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. It's another thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We find that a true disciple in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the definition of a disciple is someone who learns, he's a learner, or a pupil, someone who studies God's Word. Now, as we think about studying and we think about being a Christian, the question is, if you study God's Word, if you do, what motivates you to study the Word of God? See, our life is about study and learning. It really is. It is. If you don't study God's Word, then why do you not study God's Word? Why do you not read and study God's Word? You know, it's a question that I can answer for myself in a season of my life. And I can honestly tell you, I just didn't have time. I had too many things to do. I had too much work. And then when I got home, it was time to entertain myself or sit down and relax and take it easy. And as time went on for many, many years, the reading and the study of God's Word was something that I'd done very little of. Now, there are those in the world who believe that this Bible was truly meant mostly for preachers. If you're a minister of the gospel, you ought to study and read God's Word. There are those who are ministers that I don't believe read and study God's Word as often as they should. And I'm not sitting here saying I do it as well as I should, because I don't. But I believe the reading and studying of God's Word is something that every child of God should engage in. It's something that can make a powerful difference in our lives. Let's think about study for just a moment in the aspect of what it means to you in your life. Our life is completely about studying and learning. We learn by reading and studying. We learn by observation. We learn by experience. But you take a little child, an infant, they begin to study. You and I, their parents, their grandparents, and whoever, shortly after they're born, if you want to know the truth. They are in constant observation of what's going on around them. They have not the ability to read a book at that time, but you know, by the time they enter into kindergarten or into school, they have the ability to speak whatever language they're brought up in. In America, it's mostly Spanish or English. I was raised English. You know, isn't it amazing that they can speak the complete entire vocabulary almost of the English language before they ever enter into school? That tells me that that child was learning through observation. Now, you've heard the saying that you never get too old to learn. I'm going to tell you that's the truth. I don't care how old you are. It should be a point of yours to learn. There's always something new for you and I to learn. And God's Word is no different. You know, none of us are ever going to learn it to such an extent that we don't need to read it or study it any longer. Matter of fact, we can read and study God's Word every day of our life and have but such a small glimpse. But I believe many of God's people are like I was. I was young, and honestly, I was lazy. I mean, that's it. There's no justification for it. The most important book that we have in the entire world, because I was so consumed with myself in my life, in my work, and whatever else you wanted to plug into that, I had no time for the Bible. It just didn't fit my schedule, and that went on for many, many years. Unfortunately, I believe that is absolutely the case today with a great number of God's children. They do not take the time to read the Bible, the most important book that they'll ever read. It has answers to every issue you face in life. There's not an issue that will come that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't deal with in the Bible. But you're not going to know that if you hadn't committed yourself to reading and studying. When our children who have learned and through the experience of observation, the complete English language or whatever language they speak, enter into kindergarten and they go through 13 years or so. I went through 12. I didn't go to kindergarten. I probably should have, but I didn't. I don't know what kindergarten wasn't that popular back in my day. I think they had it, but it wasn't long before me. I don't even know if it existed. But regardless of that, I went to school for 12 years. I learned how to read and I learned how to write. I learned how to add, subtract, divide, and multiply. That's about as far as my mathematics went, but I did learn that, and that was very important to me in managing what I'd done and taking care of what I'd done. And I'm not putting down higher education because there's a reason for those algebra classes and every other kind of math class that I don't understand. There's a purpose for them, but not in my life. There wasn't any purpose for it, I didn't think. And the way it turned out, there really wasn't. But we're learning, and we're studying. We learn history, the history of our world. We learn that in the Bible. We learn that through history books. It tells us about the people who come before us. We're constantly studying, and we're constantly learning. We sure are. And that we learn by experience. You know, one thing that you and I need to learn and study in life is we need to study the experiences of others. We need to study the successes of others and the failures of others. We do that in hopes that we won't make the same mistakes. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a great chapter of teaching us what happens to a people who forgets the Lord their God. I mean, that's a summation of that chapter. And he talks about a people who crossed over into the land that flowed with milk and honey. It's a representation, I believe, of the United States of America today. I'm not here to preach on that, but I'll make a point. The Lord made it clear that it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. You know, we've even lost sight of that in this country. We believe that because we work harder and we're better than the next feller that we are owed and deserve what we got. But if it wasn't for God's rich and everlasting mercy, you wouldn't have anything. I don't care how strong you are. There are people that have the same ability you do that live in a place that don't have the same opportunity as you do. You've been blessed to live in a place with gracious opportunities. So we learn all our life, and we learn through the Bible what the children of God did in past times and what happened to them for their disobedience and what happened to them when they was blessed and filled with joy. So learning is something that goes on through the entirety of our life. A doctor, for example, he goes to medical school. Generally, he'll go to 4 years and get some school and go to medical school for another 8 years or whatever and then begin to practice medicine. But you know, that doctor is always looking out for new cures, studying about new remedies. He's always observing his clientele, his patients. We never stop learning. Matter of fact, learning and reading and studying is an exercise of your mind. It really is. You know, in America, we're obsessed with exercising in the gym, aren't we? We want to get our bodies just right. Everybody can look at us and say, oh, how gorgeous we are, whatever it is we're trying to accomplish there. But regardless of what that is, and we do many other things, do you exercise your mind? There is nothing that exercises the mind like reading and studying. You don't just have to read the Bible, but it ought to be something that we read and that we study every day. It ought to be. You know, we see experiences throughout our life where we're always learning something. That old saying, it never gets too old to learn, is the truth. You never get too old to study. If you study God's Word, God will give you light. As we begin to look at this, I want to begin over in the first part of 2 Timothy, or I want to read a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It's a very familiar verse to many of us, one that we've heard preached on and considered many times. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not the truth, the word of truth. There's a number of things in this we'll not deal with today. If you must rightly divide the word of truth, it's evident that we can wrongly divide the word of truth. No doubt about it. The truth itself cannot be changed, nor can it be divided, because the truth came from God, and He said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. But as we see this verse, it begins with the word study. Study means to toil or to labor. If you seriously work out physically, you know that there's some toil and there's some labor. You know, a mind that is not used is a wasted mind. A mind that's not exercised is a wasted mind. We all ought to read. You know, for example, my wife has always read, Sister Suzanne, not just the Bible, she reads it. She's read it through several times, and she's reading it through again this year. And I'm not here to lift anybody up, but she's read a lot. She reads all the time. Reading is a great exercise of the mind. She used to read. When I went to preach at other churches, she was always reading a book, if she wasn't driving while I was trying to read from this book. But she was reading, and reading is a way that we gather knowledge, a way that we store knowledge in our so-called database. You know, most of us own computers now, our phones that have tremendous amount of gigabyte to store data in, and a lot of folks will say, well, my brain doesn't have a lot of data space, doesn't have a lot of gigabyte, but a lot of times it may not have the gigabyte we want or the data that ability that we have because we don't exercise it. We don't spend the time reading and studying that we ought to spend because, honestly, you know, just as it was me, I was lazy. I just didn't want to take the time. There's always something better to do. There's always something better to do. Sit around and doing nothing was always better to do than reading God's Word. He says study here, but before we get into this verse and talk a little bit about it, I want to back up and begin in chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul was directing his comments to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and we know that because he says, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was not Paul's biological son, but he was his son in the ministry. And that's what we believe in the Old Baptist Church, is that you have a father in the ministry who helps to train you and helps to teach you in many things, as Brother George was to me here at this church for many, many years. In verse 2, it says, and these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, the one thing I want you to get out of this second verse is, it's easy for someone to say that 2 Timothy chapter 2 applies to ministers. It applies to ministers, to preachers. Now, the Apostle Paul was a great preacher, the greatest maybe of all apostles in some sense. He wrote more of the New Testament epistles than any other writer. And many people talk about the great Apostle Paul. Timothy was a minister who came up under the Apostle Paul. But we notice in this verse, it says, and these things that thou hast heard, now there was some hearing that took place, of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He didn't say commit that to preachers that will be coming up. He said to faithful men. And I believe the faithful men that's under consideration in chapter 2 is those who take the time, set apart the time in life to study God's Word, that God might shed light upon them, that He might give them light in certain ways. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to be given light in the Word of God beyond what some preacher might know. We're told that in John chapter 8, He said, He talked to the Jews in verse 31, to them that believed on Him. They were believers. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. What does it mean to continue in His word? It means to make it a part of your life, a practice in your life that's like any other practice. You know, there are things you and I do in life that we don't ever forget to do, do we? We get up every day and we do them. We get up and we brush our teeth. We get up and we comb our hair. We go to work. But how many things do we place as more important in our life than the reading and study of God's Word? I'll assure you, many of us, the relaxation in our lives comes ahead of a great number of things. That's the first priority in our life, is relaxing and enjoying ourselves. And thanks be to God, I'm not against that. We enjoy that great blessing. But we ought to deal with what God says in His Word. We ought to read it. We ought to study it. Because there are things that are going to happen to us in life that we need more than our own strength to to deal with and to handle as we go through. He says, commit thou to faithful men. So we know that it's not just ministers or preachers who shall be able to teach others also. Do you know that anyone who is faithful to the reading and studying of God's word, they're able to help teach others? The Bible tells us that Timothy, not only does that apply to men, it applies to women, because Timothy was taught early in his life the scriptures from who? His grandmother and his mother. Teaching and learning is something that you and I ought to do for ourselves, whereas we could commit ourselves to help teach others who are faithful the cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's something that we ought to do. It's something that ought to be a desire of ours in our heart. But I want to get down to verse 7 from this verse. It says, Paul tells Timothy here, he says, consider what I say. You know, today as I stand before you, or any day that Brother Gale would be here, or Brother Don, or any other minister of the gospel would stand before the congregation, I hope they could say, I considered what he had to say. Paul told Timothy here, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, there's this problem that I had early in my life that I think a lot of folks do, because we don't want to take the time and devote the time and commit ourselves to reading and studying God's word. The easy thing to do is to go to church and hear a man preach the gospel and say, I've got my lesson for the week. We base our positions oftentimes upon what we hear preached. But we're told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul and Silas left Thessalonica and went down to Berea and went into the synagogue to preach, verse 11 tells us that those brethren at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. When Paul and Silas preached, they were there to hear it. They were excited to hear it. But he said, they search the scriptures daily whether those things be so. I don't care if a man's called of God to preach the gospel, he's not infallible. No man's infallible. And you know, oftentimes we have the problem, as I mentioned last Sunday when I preached on sin, James says, if we have respect to men, we sin. And sometimes we find ourselves, or I have in my life, guilty of that very thing. We enjoy hearing a man preach. We enjoy the sermons he preached. And I'm not saying he isn't preaching the truth, but we ought to confirm it. We ought to search the scriptures daily whether those things be so. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Notice Paul didn't say, consider what I say and you'll know all things. He said, you consider what I say. The Great Commission was the same thing. When the Lord commanded the disciples to go out and preach to all the world, he didn't say, you go out and make children of God. He says, you preach the gospel. I'll do the work. It is God who touches the heart of a wretched bankrupt sinner. It is God who softens and tenders your heart that you might receive the gospel message. That's not our job. The gospel is to be preached and declared. It's the good work, the good news, the good tidings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Let's notice verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now I want you to understand, when Paul said my gospel here, he said the gospel that I love, the gospel that I preach and proclaim, but he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is not meaning that I wrote the gospel or it's my words. We know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, he says it said our gospel. Those brethren who had embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ and were proclaiming that truth before God's people was what was under consideration. He says, therefore I endure all things, verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Paul said here that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said, because I do that, I suffer as a man who's done a lot of evil. Just like one who was truly evil. He was suffering at the hands of men for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said he was in bonds. In other words, Paul was thrown in prison, put in shackles, and in chains numerous times. as a man who was evil, as someone who was really an outlaw or really a criminal, really a murderer, someone that deserved it. This was how Paul was treated. But the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God has free course. Now, that doesn't just speak of the written, of this preached Word. That teaches us about the written Word also, God's Word. You know, nobody can bind God's Word when you read it. You know that? You know, we as human beings are bound. We're bound in time. We're bound by our finite minds. Let me give you an example. All the years that I grew up in my life, I believed in God, but I don't understand how God has always existed. I don't. And I don't think any of the rest of you do either. I don't think the Apostle Paul knew either. Even though Apostle Paul had far more light on the Scriptures than I do, he didn't understand how God could have always been. It's hard enough to understand how God always will be, but you understand that's what eternal means. No beginning of days and no ending of days. I believe it because God gave me the faith to believe it. Do I understand it or comprehend it? No, I don't believe Paul did either. Now, God gives us light on certain subjects and certain things, but we're bound by our finite minds. God is infinite. He has no boundaries. There's nothing that He is bound to. His Word is not bound. Do you know that the Word of God is presented to us today? We have it in our very presence because of the power of God. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms 12 and 6, I believe it is, or 5. That means purified seven times. The word seven means complete in the Bible. God's Word is complete. It needs no additions. It needs no subtractions. It has everything that you need for life's problems and life's joys. Everything that you need is in God's Word. And yet, do you happen to be like I was? The Bible collected dust most of the time? That's where I was for 20, 25, 30 years of my life. And yet this is the most important book that deals with all the problems that we encounter in this life, and yet I never made it that important to me. God's Word is not bound. You know, I hope you consider what I say, but I have a finite mind, and there are things about God and even His truths that He has enlightened people with that I don't understand. It may be that when you consider God's Word through the reading and studying of God's Word, that He gives you light that has not been given to me or to some other minister. God is not bound. His Word is not bound. His Word is holy and righteous. It's pure. He said, O Lord, Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We have the Word of the Lord right here today because God is the keeper of His Word. Not us. You know, some people wonder why the Bible hadn't been burned up. Why it hadn't been done away with. God promised to preserve it forever. We'll always have the Bible. It'll never go away. Because a power that is beyond our power is keeping the Word of God. You know, all powers that you and I know of in the earth and in heaven are subject to the power of God. Amen. He is sovereign. Now, the Word of God continues to tell us to study. Now, as we begin this morning, I ask two questions. If you do study God's Word, and if you do read God's Word, if you're interested in God's Word, why? What purpose? If not, why do you not read it? You know, there's several questions that I can't answer that we can ask ourselves. Do we spend time reading God's Word? When we have problems in life, do we know what God's Word has to say about those problems? It makes a great difference in our life. We go down now to verse 14, the verse right before our text. And Paul told Timothy, he said, of these things, put them in remembrance. And as I spoke a couple of Sundays back, I said, when we preach or when we study, basically when we study or read, do you think outside the box? And what I mean by that is, do you enter in the reading and study of God's word with a closed mind or an open mind? You know, there's been times in my life that I was far more closed-minded than I am now. Because this is what I'd heard preached. And this is what I'd heard taught. So if you'd heard it for 50 years, it's bound to be right. There couldn't be any errors. But you see, when I understand that there's no man perfect, no man infallible, even though much of what I've heard preached is the truth, It tells me that there are things that we might see in God's Word that we hadn't heard or that we hadn't been taught. God is not incapable of opening your eyes to something you hadn't heard or been taught if you study and labor and toil in His Word. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. You know, used to when I read this verse, I thought, well, he's talking about things that are false, things that are in error, things that are not profitable. We're told in verse 16 of chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. We know unto an individual it's profitable. But he says here, I'm going to charge them. Not only am I going to bring this to remembrance, but charge them before the Lord our God that they strive not, dispute words to no profit. Do you realize that you can even speak the truth to someone in such a way that it causes you to strive words with them to no profit? That's hard to imagine, isn't it? I used to think of it in another term. It says, but to the subverting, overturning, or turning away of the hearers. You know what Paul just said? He says, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. We believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that if your eyes are open to the truth that I believe, Brother Randall believes, that God has to open your eyes. Do we not? God gives us understanding. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. We believe that with all our heart. God opens the heart. God gives the increase. When we take God's truth, how are we using it? What motivates us to read and study God's Word? To win an argument? To win a debate? You know, when we get into that situation, you'll find that the sin of pride has reared its ugly head. A lot of times we become arrogant. That's what I say. Are we Christians? Are we becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? That's what a true Christian is, a follower of Christ, one who strives to imitate Christ and become more like Christ as he continues his journey in life. You know, Christ was a man of great compassion. He was a man of great mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, sent his only begotten Son to die in our room instead. You know, sometimes the way we use our words, the way we speak our words, even if they're the truth, they cause men to strive as words to no profit. If you're trying to win the argument, it'll happen that way more times than not. The wisest man that ever lived, save the Lord Jesus Christ, being Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, begins to go through several verses and tells us that there is a time and a season to everything. No doubt there is. In verse 7, he says, a time to rend and a time to sow. But he says, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, we were given two ears and one mouth, and I think we ought to spend more time listening than speaking at times. But there is a season to speak. There's also a season to be silent. If someone doesn't understand what you understand, don't strive with them. In other words, don't overturn them. Don't overturn or subvert the hearers. You haven't accomplished anything. There was no profit in that whatsoever. It wasn't profitable. So you can even speak the truth, and you know our natural inclination and our carnal ways, we have a desire to win, don't we? Sometimes it becomes more about winning than it does showing love to our brothers and sisters, whether they understand what we understand or not. You know, God's children are God's children. They're scattered throughout the world. They're in every kindred, tongue, and people and nation up on the earth. They're out of every race, every color of skin, every level of society. They're rich, they're poor, they're smart. They're not so smart. But we have all kinds that make up the family of God. Let's not use words that subvert and there's no profit in. Because you can take the truth and use it in such a way that it's corrupt. Paul said over in Ephesians 4 and 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of thy mouth except that which is good to the use of edifying. Even if you're speaking the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, if you go somewhere to tear someone down, Your words are nothing but pure corruption, no matter how much truth you speak. You know, when we talk about other denominations, if someone does, it's wrong. We're using words that are corrupt. When we put them on show because they don't see eye to eye with us, those words can be words of corruption. The Lord says that's corrupt communication. Are we building those folks up or are we tearing them down? Let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of thy mouth except that which is good to the use of edifying. That means to build up, to encourage. You know, there's an old saying, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, Paul said, consider what I say. I hope you'll consider that. And the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. You know, I may plant, another minister may water, but it is God that gives the increase. So consider that when you speak to someone. Tell them what you believe, but do it in love, with a kind heart, with a tender heart. There's a lot of difference in how we do things and how we speak to the others. Because there are lots of good folks out there in the world that don't see eye to eye with us on every issue, in every position. This is not about winning the argument. I think back when I was a kid, I remember in the church that I grew up in, they had a debate with another denomination. I didn't pay much attention because I was a kid. But since I've grown up and hopefully grown up and tried to preach, I've read several debates that took place over time, some from Elder C.H. Casey's. I've read the Rhodes West debate. And I've come to this conclusion about these debates, honestly. There wasn't no profit in them whatsoever. There's some things that I learned reading them that made great points to me. But the reason is most people enter into debates, just like many people enter into the study of God's Word, with a closed mind. And what I mean by that is they determine what they're going to believe before they even begin to study God's Word. You've heard of the saying, let God's Word speak to you. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. I'm guilty of that myself. Have you ever entered into the reading and studying God's Word with a predetermined notion? Sometimes if we do that, we oversee things. We overlook things. And God doesn't open our eyes and give us light upon those things. Those debates never changed very few, if any, people's minds from what I read. They were great arguments. Great disputes were going on there. And I'm not saying who was right and who was wrong. I'm just saying I don't believe there was a lot of profit in that. And I've heard a lot of ministers say that. They wasn't profitable. But that many of them took place. That's the same thing that he said here. Strive not with words. Because we're not gaining anything. We're not getting anywhere. Matter of fact, if you do it long enough, you'll overturn those. Turn them away from you. Now let's get back to studying here in our text. Study that you might present yourself acceptable before God. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that if you're a minister of the gospel that you don't work. But if you do study and read and you do the other things that's asked of you, you'll find that it'd probably be easier just to go get a job out in the world and do what you was doing, or at least I farmed most of my life, than it is to do that. You know, our natural inclination is not, in mine wasn't, to study. I didn't read a lot of anything back before I began to read the Bible the way I do now, or as much as I do. I read the sports page or a few things that interested me. I just didn't read. It takes some discipline and it takes some change in our lives to do that. It is work. And there's no shame in that work, because this is the greatest book that's ever been delivered in the hands of man, because it's God's words. It's preserved by God. It's His words. They're inspired, and they ought to have great meaning in our life, because they deal with every issue in our families, in our workplace that we have. Now, how many times have you heard this, and I've said it myself, oh, the Bible is so hard to read, therefore I don't read it. Basically, that's your justification for not reading it. The Bible, when we stop at the commas and we take the time to read it, we'll get a lot more out of it. You get out of something what you put into it. And I didn't put anything into it, so I didn't get much out of it, and I'll be honest about that. But we ought to study. Now let's think about what he says here, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we don't need to argue with folks, but we do need to enter in the study of God's word and rightly divide the word of truth. That means to cut straight, to dissect that the divine message might come together in harmony. There's a lot of folks who believe certain points in the Bible, and I know the verses that they use, and yet when you go to another verse, they contradict. I want you to know there are no contradictions in the Word of God. The contradiction is in my mind, your mind, or whoever the reader is. It's not in God's mind. It's a failure to understand the context of what's being spoken of, and it's taking a verse out of context and speaking about it. Now, as we begin to think about this studying, Apostle Peter tells us over in, and being a Christian, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in grace and knowledge. As I stated several months ago, the evidence that you're growing is by how you're living, by how you're acting, by the influence and example that you're leaving. If you're not leaving an example, it's an evidence that you're not being filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, that word grace means divine influence. If we read and if we study God's Word and if we understand what God says and we deal with things that come to us in our life the way God says to deal with them, that's how we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. How our walk in this life becomes more conformed to Him. You know, some of us have a hard time with that. We're not slow to speak. And we're quick to anger and wrath, as James said. And that's Kenny's gospel, and I'm not quoting it word for word, but that's where we are. There is a season to be silent. There is a season to speak. But as we study God's Word, are we growing? Are we filling our minds with knowledge? That's how we gain knowledge, through observation, through the reading and the studying of God's Word. And if we are, it will show up in our life. It will have an influence, a divine influence on your life. The example you are to your neighbors, to your children. You know, we wonder why our children sometimes go astray. Maybe we wasn't as good an example as we should. We wonder sometimes why our children are so caught up in the things of this world. Maybe we were far more caught up in the things in this world than we're willing to admit. Our kids see what we do, and they learn more from what they see than they ever learn from what they read. But in God's Word, He teaches us how to deal with all situations. And I'm going to look at just a couple of them, and we'll close this morning. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." How many people do you know in this world who spend their entire life looking for peace? They go to this form of entertainment. They go here, there, and yonder. They take this vacation. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but they're searching for something they can't find in this world. Jesus made it clear that peace is not found in some place that you decide you want to harbor in this world, plus Him. Real peace is peace that you find in Christ, which means wherever you're at and whatever circumstance you're under, you're at peace. Whether you're on a nice vacation to see this blessed world that God has created, that's a great blessing, one that I enjoy very much. But are you finding peace in Jesus Christ? He didn't say Him and some other direction in life is where you'll find peace. He said, "In me you find peace." Let the peace of God rule your hearts, as Paul said in Colossians. There's so many people that are not at peace in the world. They're not in peace with their families. They're not in peace with society, their workplace, and on goes the story. They're not in peace with the natural settings of the world. I mean, they're not at peace with the Lord. I mean, that list can go on and on and on. The Lord is the great physician. The Lord is the one who heals us. The Lord is the one who carries us through the trials and tribulations of life. Why should we grow in grace and knowledge? Because we ought to want to be like the Lord. And when we have the troubles of life that Jesus said we'll have, we'll get through those with far more ease when we're connected in fellowship and in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of that communion comes through reading and studying God's Word. Yes, the easy thing is to go hear the preacher preach and say, "That's what I believe." The easy thing for us to do is not teach our children, but drop them off somewhere and let somebody else teach them. That's the easy thing to do. And that's what we do in America for the most part, regardless of where we go. God instructed us to train up our children the way that they should go, And when they're old, they will not depart from it. But the easy thing is to not be responsible for what God obligated us to do. And to read and study in His Word is an obligation that God commanded us to do. We should read and study that we can follow Him. That we can understand when the storms of life come, the difficulties of life come, that we'll be able to get through those things because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He's there to help us along. And at times in our life, He's there to completely carry us when we go through the difficult things that's presented to us in this life. He said over in John 15, and I'll close with this verse. He said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." John 15, around verse 11, I don't know just where the verse is. You know, if we're going to become more like Jesus Christ, if we're going to truly call ourselves Christians and follow the Lord, it ought to be the greatest desire in our hearts to become more like Him. If you study the Gospels and you study the New Testament, it tells you all you need to know about how Jesus Christ was. It tells us how He dealt with this situation and with that circumstance. It tells you how He dealt with those who were so opposed to Him and how they threatened Him and how they said all kinds of ugly things to Him. I mean, you know, we have those things happen to us in life. And the example that we're given is an example that He tells us about in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says that He had given us the example that we should follow in His steps. It's not always easy, but if we're going to follow in His steps, we can't follow Him unless you've committed yourself to read and study God's Word. We're not going to know how He is. Men may tell you things that are not right because there's no preacher that's infallible. There's no preacher that's right with every word he says. Sometimes we respect those men in that degree, but the Lord says that's sin. There's nothing wrong with hearing a good sermon preached, and I'm not saying many of them preach things that are not true. But the Lord expects you and I to search the Scriptures daily where those things are so, to read God's Word, to study God's Word, to consider what men say, and let the Lord give the understanding in all things. May God bless you this morning is my prayer. I hope you got something out of what I had to say. I hope that you will commit yourself to reading God's Word more and studying God's Word and making it more of a priority in your life. I know that's not an easy thing to do. It takes some discipline. It takes some change sometimes. I know that I spend a great deal of my life not doing it, and I hope and pray that you will consider it, and I encourage you to do that. May God bless you.